لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يدخل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ولؤلؤا ولباسهم فيها حرير وهدوا إلى الطيب من القول وهدوا إلى صراط الحميد. إن الذين كفروا ويصدون عن سبيل الله والمسجد الحرام الذي جعلناه للناس والمسجد الحرام الذي جعلناه للناس سواء العاكف فيه والباد ومن يرد فيه بإلحاد بظلم نذقه من عذاب أليم. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in verse 23 and verse 24 of Suratul Hajj mentions the rewards that a believer will get in the Akhirat. When a person goes for Hajj, he dons the ihram. He says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. He proclaims the oneness of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And he exerts himself in the worship of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and enters into a plea with Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for eternal salvation. He makes dua for Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that he must die on Iman. Allah must grant him entrance into Jannat and Paradise. And Allah must save him and protect him from the fire of hell. A Haji should always put in front of him life after death and the ni'mats and bounties that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has kept in store for him after he dies and will be going into Jannat and Paradise inshallah. And it is mentioned in one hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعدد العباد الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. The hadith of Qudsi, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah تبارك وتعالى says that I have prepared for my pious servants in Jannat, in Paradise, such ni'mats and such bounties that no eye have seen, no ear have heard, and the thought of such bounty and ni'mat have never even come across the heart of any individual. In one hadith, it is mentioned, An Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, Fil jannati mi'atu daraja, ma bayna kulli darajatayn ka ma bayna samai wal ard, wal firdausu a'laha darajatan. In Jannat, there are 100 stages, and between every two stages of Jannat, the area between the sky and the earth. And Jannatul Firdaus is the highest darja in Jannat. Minha tufujjira adharu Jannah al-arba'ah. And it is from Jannatul Firdaus, the four famous streams of Jannat also flow. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوا الْفِرْدَوْسِ. When you ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for Jannat, when you ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for a place in paradise, ask him for the highest place in Jannat, and that is Jannatul Firdaus. The environment in Jannat will be wonderful, very, very beautiful. The people in Jannat were very soft-hearted people. An Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل الجنة أقوام أفئدتهم مثل أفئدة الطير. The people that will enter Jannat, their hearts will be soft like the hearts of birds. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also describes the layout in Jannat. He says that the ground in Jannat will be from saffron. One can imagine saffron is such an expensive commodity, but the ground in Jannat will be from saffron. And the stones and the pebbles of Jannat will be rubies and precious stones. The buildings in Jannat will be gold and silver. One brick of gold, one brick of silver. And in this world, when we attach one brick to another brick, we apply plaster between the two bricks. The plaster in Jannat will be made out of musk. So one can imagine the building of gold, silver, and the plaster that's going to attach both the bricks in Jannat will be of musk. What a beautiful sight that will be. The people will enjoy so many bounties and ni'mats in Jannat that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will tell the people, wish and desire more. The dwellers of Jannat will say, Wallah, you have given us so much, what else do we want? Finally, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will tell to them, الْيَوْمَ أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. A time will come, Allah will address the dwellers of Jannat and tell to them that today I descend upon you and I put upon you my happiness and my pleasure. From today onwards, I will never ever be displeased with you. It is mentioned that dwellers of Jannat, when they will hear this announcement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they will be extremely happy and pleased. Normally in this world it happens, when you enjoy some ni'mat, some bounty, the fear is always there that a time will come that ni'mat and bounty will come away, will take it away from you. But when the people will be in Jannat, they know that they'll be there forever and ever, completely happy, satisfied and content. One of the greatest bounties that will be given to a dweller of Jannat will be فَيُرْفَعُ الْحِجَابِ. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will remove his hijab and remove the curtain. فَيَنْذُرُونَ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That all the dwellers of Jannat, that is the time they will actually look at Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Every individual, every human being, he knows that he comes from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah created him, and it's a wish and desire for every individual to know the Creator, see the Creator. And when the person goes into Jannat, Allah will give him the opportunity where he will actually see Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In the hadith is mentioned, فَمَا أُوتُوا شَيْنَ حَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّذْرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. That in spite of all the great ni'mas and bounties that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala bestowed upon the dwellers of Jannah, they wouldn't be given any bounty greater than the bounty of seeing the Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And this is what Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ. The waziyada refers to the countenance and the sight of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in verse 23 says, those people who bring iman and do righteous action and deeds, Allah will grant them entrance into such jannah, into such gardens beneath which streams flow. They will be adorned in jannah with bangles of gold, and they will also be adorned with precious stones. وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ. And the clothing, the garment, the attire of the dwellers of Jannah will be of silk. In the world, for men, silk is prohibited, gold is also prohibited. But this will be a ni'mat that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will bless them in Jannah and Paradise. وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَهُدُوا إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْحَمِيدِ. And those people, the believers, they are guided towards the pure statement, towards the pure qawl, and they will be guided towards a path that is praiseworthy. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that the pure statement refers to the statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That is a pure statement where we proclaim the oneness of Almighty Allah, and we also proclaim the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in verse 25 states to us the attitude of the disbelievers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَيَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ الَّذِي جَعَلْنَاهُ لِلنَّاسِ سَوَاءً الْعَاكِفُ فِيهِ وَالْبَادِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقُهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. The translation of this verse is, verily those people who have adopted kufr, they have made kufr, and they prevent people from the path of Allah, and they prevent the people from Masjidul Haram. Masjidul Haram is that which we have made for all people, the people that are residing in Makkah Mukarramah or the people that come from abroad. And that person who intends in the Haram ilhad, un-Islamic activities, coupled with zulam, coupled with kufr and shirk, then we will make him taste a painful punishment in the akhirat. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created a Masjid al-Haram. One is the Kaaba Sharif, and one is the area that is right immediately around the Kaaba Sharif. That is called the Masjid al-Haram. The Kaaba Sharif and all the places where Umrah and Hajj are performed, whether it is the area between Safa and Marwa, Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, all these places, they are waqf for the Muslimin. It doesn't belong to anyone. It only belongs to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So nobody can stop any person from making Safa, making Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and claiming ownership of that area, or of Mina, of Arafah, of Muzdalifah. This belongs to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and the believers are free to go there to make Umrah and to perform the Hajj. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala condemns the disbelievers that they prevent the Muslimin from the path of Allah. For the path of Allah refers to Islam, accepting Islam and practicing on Islam. And they also prevent the Muslimin from Masjid al-Haram. Almighty Allah says, they have no right stopping the believers from going to Masjid al-Haram, because Allah made the Masjid al-Haram for all people. People that reside in Makkah Mukarramah and people that come from abroad. Just as the Kaaba Sharif is so sacred, it is so dear to the heart of every believer, Likewise, the area around the Kaaba Sharif, the Haram area, is also very sacred. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says that if anybody has committed any ilhad, ilhad refers to any type of sin in the Haram area, and that to couple with kufr and shirk, then Allah will punish that person severely. It is mentioned in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the Haram and how we should show respect to the Haram. An Abbas ibn Abi Rabi'a qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la tazalu hadhihi al-umma bi khair ma 'azzimu hadhihi al-hurma haqqa ta'zimiha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, this ummah will be on khair, this ummah will be on success and prosperity until this ummah respects the hurmat of the Kaaba Sharif and the hurmat of the Haram to the greatest level. فَإِذَا زَيَّعُوا ذَلِكَ هَلَكُوا. When people do not respect the Haram, they do an Islamic activity in the Haram, they commit sin in the Haram, then this will lead to the decline of the ummah, and the ummah will then be destroyed. It is mentioned in one hadith, an Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بلد الحرام حرمه الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض فهو حرام بحرمة الله تعالى. مسجد الحرام, Almighty Allah تبارك وتعالى has made it haram. Almighty Allah تبارك وتعالى has made it compulsory upon every believer to respect the Masjid al-Haram. And the hurmat of it Allah has installed from the day Allah created the sky and the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions further, لا يعبد شوكا ولا ينفر سيده ولا يلتقط لقطته إلا من عرفها ولا يختلى خلاها. The haram is so sacred that if somebody comes across a thorny tree, it is not permissible for the person to even uproot a thorny tree. Anything that is a haram is sanctified. A animal that is hunted, normally an animal of prey, it is not even permissible to chase that animal. It is not permissible for a person to pick up a lost item in a haram. If the person has intention to locate and identify the owner, then only the person may pick it up. And even to uproot a grass or to pluck a grass from the haram, it is not correct, and it is a sin. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that احتكار الطعام في الحرم إلحاد فيه. At the time of need, when there is no food, and to hoard food in the haram, that is also regarded to be إلحاد, and it is regarded to be a sin and an Islamic activity. Our akabir and our pious predecessors, they were very sensitive when it came to the respect of the haram. When a haji goes for hajj, when he is in a haram area, he needs to conduct himself with a greater amount of respect. He must make sure that he does not commit any sin, he does not fight with anyone, he does not lose himself and get angry with people, because the slightest statement that he would make there, that would be compounding the sin, and to be against the respect of the haram. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, if a person makes an intention of sin at other places, that's not regarded to be a sin until he does not commit the sin. But when the person is in a haram area, the mere thought of a sin would be regarded to be a sin. How can the person be in a haram area and intend committing a sin? That's the time the person's heart, mind, soul is focused towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the obedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah has blessed the person by being in a sacred place. Being in such a sacred place, how can a person intend committing a sin? If you mention about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when he used to come for Umrah or come for Hajj, he used to pitch up two tents. One tent used to be in the haram area, and one used to be in the hill area, the area out of the haram. If he needed to reprimand anyone, or he needed to get angry with anyone, then he would go out of the haram in the hill area, out of the haram, and go and scold and reprimand the person. So somebody asked him, then why do you have to do that? Why can't you reprimand the person in the haram area? He says, to reprimand a person in the haram area, to get angry with a person, to take an oath and say Wallah, Tallah, Billah, these are statements of oath in the Arabic language, that is also regarded to be ilhad in the haram and disrespectful to the haram. This is how sensitive they were to the respect to the haram. So Almighty Allah Ta'ala speaks about the sanctity of the haram. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِذُلْمٍ. That person who intends in the haram area ilhad, un-Islamic activity, anything un-Islamic is regarded to be ilhad in the haram area, and that too coupled with zulam. Zulam could either mean kufr or shirk, or it could either mean oppressing anyone. Then, because the person was not sensitive and not considered to the sacred area of haram, we would punish that person a painful punishment in the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to understand the azmat of the Baytullah Sharif and the haram area, and the greatness of performing Hajj and Umrah. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant all of us Hajj Mabrur, Hajj Maqbool. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.